Once upon a time, and good stories usually begin that way, right? When there were no people in the world, God decided that the world was ready for human beings. God had already created the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and animals that walked on the earth, but something was missing. And so God decided to create a human being. Now, this creature was going to be different than any other that God had created. This creature was going to be able to walk upright, was going to have a mind to think. This creature was going to be the crown of creation. It was a great idea. So God took some dust from the earth and breathed life into the dust, and it became a human being. He called him Adam. Well, God loved Adam and wanted to give him everything he could, so God made a beautiful garden and put him in the middle of it, and he called the garden Eden, and he said to Adam, "I want you to take care of this garden as if it were your own." Well, despite the fact that there were hundreds of animals, the man felt all alone. And God sensed this. So he decided to create someone who would be his companion, and so God created Eve. Well, as luck would have it, Adam and Eve actually liked each other. And they came to love each other. And they were happy in the beautiful garden. For a time, and we don't know how long, Adam and Eve were at peace in their beautiful place and did just as God had told them. They talked with God as you would talk with your best friend. They knew nothing of evil or sin or guilt. Now, God wanted this to continue, so he said to them, I love the way things are going, and they'll continue to go and just be perfect as long as you don't eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden over there. You can eat anything else, but not from that tree in the middle of the garden. A reasonable thought, don't you think? However, among the animals in the garden was a serpent, or in some translations, a snake. I like snake better. And this snake pulled Eve over to the corner of the garden and asked, "Has God told you that there is a fruit that you're not supposed to eat?" "Why, yes. We can eat anything in the garden, but we're not supposed to eat fruit from that tree in the middle of the garden." "Well, why is that?" "Well, you see, if we eat the fruit of that tree, God says we will die." "Oh, come on now. That's pure fiction. God knows that if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll become wise just like God himself." Well, the snake slithered away. And Eve got to thinking and looking at that tree over there, and it looked more beautiful all the time, and that fruit looked more delicious all the time. And so she took some of the fruit and ate some of it, and she gave some to Adam, and he ate. And immediately, they knew that they had done something wrong. Say, could we just stop here a moment and just step back and look at the story for a minute? Isn't it interesting how the story reveals a profound truth? Adam and Eve were told what was right and wrong. But like most human beings, they rationalized that eating the fruit couldn't really be all that bad. How could it hurt? Sounds like us, doesn't it? Often what appears to be a good thing turns out to be a bad thing. You know what I'm talking about. How many folks have you known who tried something that appeared to be really good and exciting, but it proved to be horrible and calamitous? Well, hey, let me get back to the story. I was at the point where Adam and Eve had just taken a bite of the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. And you know what happened then? They experienced guilt for the very first time. Prior to their sin, they lived in innocence and in harmony. They lived in harmony with God. They lived in harmony with each other. They lived in harmony with the animals and the plants. But with their disobedience, they realized their shame. And now they were afraid to encounter God in the garden. They tried to hide themselves from the Lord. Well, one day, not too long after the eating of the fruit, God was taking a stroll through the garden. And he called out to them, "Adam, Eve." No reply. "Adam, Eve, where are you?" "Lord, I'm over here, sort of behind the bushes. I heard your voice, and I was afraid, and I hid." "Adam, why are you afraid to meet me? Because we've been good friends. Have you eaten from the tree of which I told you you must not touch?" Ha! Adam was found out. Hey, let me interrupt again. Isn't it interesting that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they felt guilty? They ran and hid, but God still found them. There wasn't a place where Adam and Eve could try and hide. That's another truth the story reveals. Doesn't that sound like us? Adam and Eve's story is really an example of the human condition. When we sin, most of us feel guilty and try to run and hide, but God still finds us. Oh, there are a few people who say they have no guilt. John Dillinger, one of Indiana's most famous Hoosiers, the infamous bank robber and murderer of the 30s in the Midwest, was asked by his mother down in Martinsville, Indiana, "How is it, John, that you can kill a man?" And John Dillinger said to his mother, "Mom, it's just as easy to kill a man as it is to kill a dog." For some, that may be the case, but for most of us, there's that internal law, that conscience that we feel that says when we sin, we feel guilty. There's nowhere to hide from our guilt. Oh, let me get back to the story. I've wandered a bit. I've been doing that, sort of recently. I was talking about Adam and Eve and how they were found out by God. I was mentioning that God asked Adam why he was afraid of seeing God, and that he replied, "Lord, that woman that you gave to me, she gave me some of the fruit and I ate. It's her fault." Then God said to Eve, "What is this that you have done?" And Eve gave a similar story. "Lord, that snake over there told me that it would do me no harm, and so I ate some of it. It's his fault." And the snake didn't have any finger to point, so he couldn't blame anybody. I'm sorry. I just have to interrupt again. Isn't that typical of us human beings? We get caught doing something wrong, and then we deny it, or blame somebody else. Adam got caught, and he pointed his finger at Eve. Eve got caught, and she pointed the finger at the snake. They did not and they would not take responsibility for their disobedience. Instead, they tried to make it somebody else's fault. Isn't that interesting? The author of Genesis certainly has us humans figured out. I knew a kid back in my first church who had stolen 7 cars, and I asked him why he did it, and he said, "The devil made me do it." I said, "Oh, come on now, Steve." Whenever there's a political scandal and when things have come to light, we see a plethora of finger pointing. Oh, do we ever hear excuses and blaming when someone is caught doing something they should not have done? There's a lot of that in Washington, D.C. these days, isn't there? Sooner or later, we humans have got to grow up and take responsibility for our actions. What a wonderful story. The Hebrew people had an amazing gift of telling stories that conveyed profound truths. A story did not have to be literally true in order for it to convey the truth. The writer of Genesis intended for us to understand, number one, the reality of sin, how it often appears as a good, how we feel guilty for the sin, how we can't hide from our responsibility, how we often blame others for our own actions, and how we must take consequences for our sin. But the writer of Genesis didn't end the story the way we would have liked. In the end, he had God condemning Eve to childbearing and Adam to hard physical labor. He left no choice for us humans but to despair. He didn't resolve things so that Adam and Eve could live happily ever after, just like the Hollywood movies. He didn't give them a way out, and he doesn't seem to suggest one for us either. I mean, if we just read Genesis 2 and 3, we would all just give up because there's no mention of forgiveness, no mention of reconciliation, no sense of hope, and there's not a second chance. You blew it, Adam and Eve. Here are the consequences. But to use the words of St. Paul, and I quote, "When the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as his children. For if Adam's offense meant that men should be slaves to death all their lives, it is a far greater thing that through another man, Jesus Christ, people by their acceptance of his more than sufficient grace and righteousness should live all their lives like royalty. Adam's disobedience placed all persons under the threat of condemnation. But one man's obedience, Jesus' obedience, has the power to present all people righteous before God." Genesis 2 and 3 contain a wonderful story with lots of truth, but the story is incomplete. The completed story is found in the life, the teachings, the ministry, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of his obedience and his willingness to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world, he has effected our salvation. In Christ Jesus, we're no longer condemned like Adam and Eve. Instead, we are redeemed. That's the good news. And that's the end of the story. Let us pray.